It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott Luton. And my special guest, guest host, Ben Harris with Supply Chain Now with you. Welcome to today's show. Ben, how you doing?
Doing very well, Scott. Thanks for asking.
You bet. We are really excited about one of our longest running series here at Supply Chain Now is the Supply Chain City Series, which really spotlights all the latest happenings across the supply chain community in Metro Atlanta. And Ben, if there's any cause for celebration, it is the reinvigoration, if that's a word, of this series with our partners over at SAP. So more to come on that, but it's pretty exciting on our end, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much to SAP for your sponsorship of this series. It's been long time running, and simply we could not do it without you. So thanks so much for your support, Mike and team.
That's right. But to our listeners, while, the stories will originate from the Metro Atlanta area, but still, regardless of where you live and where you work, you're going to learn best practices that will relate back to what you do in business and, of course, in supply chain. So stay tuned for what is going to be a great show where we're working hard to increase your supply chain IQ. Okay, on that note, one quick programming item. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check us out and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. All right, so Ben, are we ready to introduce our special guest for this latest installment of Supply Chain City?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it. All right. So we are featuring today Diego Martinez, Business Process Director, Production Execution Workstream with the infamous, the world famous, the Coca-Cola Company. Diego, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You bet. Great to have you and looking forward to sharing your insights and perspective with our audience.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
And along with Diego, we have a repeat guest with us. So we're going to be featuring Mike Lackey, Global Vice President of Solution Management, Digital Manufacturing with SAP. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me today. Diego, it's good to see you.
Ben, likewise.
So, Mike, pleasure to have you.
We've got a great conversation teed up. And again, we've been fortunate to have Mike with us a few weeks ago. Really great to have him back and great to feature again a leader from the Coca-Cola Company. So Ben, why don't we, before we dive into Mike and Diego's story and some of their insights, let's put our finger on the pulse and see what's taking place. What is on your Supply Chain City radar?
There's a couple things that are percolating right now. So as I had mentioned before we got on here live, our Supply Chain and Logistics Talent Resource Guide is kind of in its final design phase at this point. We finally got the first draft done. Now it's in design phase, and that's going to be designed for if you're thinking about where to make bets on future of talent around supply chain logistics, where do you look for that? And it's going to talk about what all Georgia has to offer from an asset standpoint. So the kinds of curriculum, the programming, all of that, all those things that come together that make Georgia a great place for supply chain logistics and really your workforce of the future. So extremely excited about that. I think the our latest published date is October 22nd. We're going to do everything we can to get there at that time. So should be very soon when that's coming out.
Outstanding.
Yeah, very excited about that. Additionally, we'll have, it's actually ongoing right now, the Bank of America Million Mass Challenge, which we have partnered, the Metro Atlanta Chamber has partnered with Bank of America, the Global Health Crisis Coordination Center, or GHC3 as we like to call it, them as well as Very Good Ideas, another marketing group that we're working with on sourcing a million masks for local charities and businesses in most need in some really hard hit areas here in Metro Atlanta. And Coca-Cola, thanks to Diego and team there, have been phenomenal partners to work with on that. They've actually donated over 150,000 mass to this cause. So thank you so much, Diego, team at Coca-Cola. It's phenomenal what they've done there. So we've actually gotten to our milestone at a million mass, which I'm very happy to say. Again, thanks to all of our partners. You'll be hearing more about some PR coming out around that. But you know, when you think about supply chain and procurement and things of that nature, that was a big deal, being able to source all that from the different large corporations here in the Atlanta region. And then lastly, we had a pretty cool announcement. You know, for the seventh year in a row, for Area Development Magazine has selected the state of Georgia as the number one state for doing business. So, of course, supply chain logistics being one of the largest industries here, that's one of the biggest reasons why. And we've actually had some recent announcements that have contributed to that. Radius Research is a collaborative research organization. It's going to create 50 jobs here. So think about life sciences and the supply chain there. Contract research and manufacturing organizations are critical to the infrastructure there to make that happen and have that here in the ecosystem. So very excited about that. Radiolink is going to invest $40 million in a new distribution center here in Locust Grove, Georgia. 344 new full-time jobs, so extremely happy to welcome them to the neighborhood, though they're no stranger to Atlanta already. And then Bang Energy also will invest $145 million in opening a new manufacturing and distribution facility in Douglasville. So, you know, we have enough energy drinks to go around, and Bang is certainly one of the biggest names within that area, so very happy to add them to the portfolio of manufacturers here in the Atlanta region. And then lastly, Papa John's, thanks to our friend Shaquille O'Neal, they have moved their headquarters actually to Atlanta just recently. So very happy to have them in the fold. They're going to be creating over 200 jobs here. Very nice, you know, headquarters jobs. So again, the ecosystem's growing, even though obviously COVID continues to take its toll on the business community, but Atlanta's still growing a lot and there's a lot of opportunity here. So we're extremely excited about the future of Supply Chain City because of those partners I just mentioned.
Love it. And, you know, Mike, you made a great remark before we went live here about a lot of folks would be surprised about how much manufacturing does exist in throughout Metro Atlanta, right?
You know, Scott, you're correct. And Ben, you know, Atlanta is the epicenter of the Southeast, right, of the United States. And we attract so much talent, not just from the great universities that we have here in it, you know, in the state of Georgia with, you know, Georgia Tech right here in Atlanta, University of Georgia, a lot of the other universities, but we attract talent from all the universities in the South, which really makes Atlanta pretty easy to do business. And when you can get the talent and you can get the workers you need, you know, the innovation and the speed at which we manufacture can really come out. But, you know, with Caterpillar down in Athens, Georgia, their big facility continues to grow. I love, if you've been down 16, if you remember years ago, there was nothing. When you got to Macon, once you hit Dublin, there was nothing. You got to Savannah. You know, now just manufacturers are growing up, you know, left and right down there. You know, ADCO just opened a new manufacturing facility, Georgia Pacific. And it was the Port of Savannah is becoming a very big draw, you know, for manufacturers because the transportation, which is a big part of the supply chain. So, yeah, Atlanta is just a great place right now and exploding, not just the talent, but because of the airports we have, the infrastructure, 75, 85. We won't talk about, I-10 down there, but, yeah, it's just terrific right now. So.
Agreed. And, you know, a lot of folks, we've talked about it before, Ben, a lot of folks would be surprised how big of a supply chain logistics and cargo transportation player that the airport is.
Yes.
And growing the capacity and the complexity and their ability to deliver and on a huge scale continues to get bigger and bigger. And that's a great part of the supply chain city. All right. So let's transition a bit. Diego, I want to bring Diego Martinez back into the conversation from the Coca-Cola company. So before we get to work and really talk business, Diego, first, let's get to know you a little bit better. So tell us about yourself.
Well, that's good to know.
You're well informed now on all things Supply Chain City, right?
As you can tell from my accent, I'm not from the U.S. So I was born and raised in Colombia. So I'm Colombian. And then I joined the company 23 years ago, like in Bogota, the capital city. Then I'm a mechanical engineer by trade. So that's what I studied there in Colombia. And then normally most of the people in Coke, at least in the manufacturing facilities, are having a chemical background. So I was facing people with chemistry backgrounds, and then I was more on the mechanical side. So I joined the company there, then I transitioned to Chile back in 1999. So I lived in Chile for 6 years, always on the manufacturing side. So I was the operations manager in Colombia. Then I went to Chile and I was the production manager for a new facility in Chile. And then back in 2006, that's when I took a new role, a global role at that time. And then I moved to the States. So I moved to Atlanta back in 2006. I was in process improvement manager for kind of deploying best practices across the different facilities and across the world. So it is not on the bottling side where there are thousands of bottlers. It is more on the company-owned facilities, the concentrate manufacturing facilities. Is just a number of those, around 20, but they've been decreasing over the years. And then back in 2009, I took the CPS engineering manager role, which I had until last year. So I joined. Now what I'm doing at the moment is I'm part of the program Contour, which is a special program within the company that is responsible to transition from SAP ECC6 to S4HANA. It's a big change for the company. We're moving into the new SAP functionality. And then, so there's a big group of people making that transition to the for the company.
Diego, is that part of the SAP One initiative, or is it Coca-Cola One? I couldn't remember if there was actually a tagline attached to that kind of initiative, the changeover to SAP HANA.
No, there was a transition of bottlers in CCNA to an SAP version, but that finished, and then this is completely new. It's something that started a year and a half ago. Is a very aggressive plan to deploy new S4HANA into all the operations in the company globally. So it's not the SAP One. No.
One more follow-up question for you, Diego. Clearly, you've spent a ton of time in the manufacturing aspect of the enterprise. I've always had a soft place in my heart for manufacturing operations and the people, some of the brightest, best problem solvers, folks that make, get stuff done. Involved in the manufacturing industry. Was that some of your experiences as well?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, manufacturing has a lot of firefighting activities happening. So definitely you need to be kind of problem solving all the time. So it's constantly there. And that's where you really need systems that can actually help you support the process and then basically follow processes on the plans. That really helps to kind of reduce the number of possible errors and issues that come up. But definitely having a good system and a good process in place will help. But definitely it is people that normally get the latest out of the facility, those are the guys that are there, the guys that especially under this situation, they are under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. When you have problems with the supply chain at the moment, the countries closing borders, and so all of that changes the dynamics on the supply chain, but then it is a teamwork anyway. So it is people on the manufacturing side, but then they couldn't do anything without the rest of the team members in the facility. So you need to have the planning guys doing their work as well. You have to have the procurement guys doing what they need to do, and then everything has to be orchestrated correctly to make sure that you can actually accomplish all your objectives.
Well put. We talk about that being one of the silver linings in this historically challenging year is that supply chain and the people, the technologies, you name it, are front and center to folks that maybe, consumers that haven't, they've been outside of at least the profession. We all know that consumers are a big, important part of global supply chain, but appreciate you sharing there, Diego. All right. So Mike Lackey with SAP, let's bring you back in. Same question to you. Let's give our folks a chance to re-know you again. We love our repeat guests here, but Mike, tell us about yourself.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I love what Diego's talking about here, because it's not just, it's the amount of international talent that's in Atlanta as well. Him coming from Columbia, and it comes back to what Atlanta has to offer, the airport, the cost of living, the pretty good weather we have here, most of the time. Right. So it's just great, the amount of talent here. I'm a local boy. I grew up on a farm out in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and my dad was an engineer, and I said, I want to follow in his footsteps. So I went down to the North Avenue Trade School down here, Georgia Tech, and got a great education, and married a Buckhead girl and stayed here in Atlanta. I got my advanced degree, master's from Mercer here, and in international business. And I've been very fortunate. I started at a company called DCA up in Windward Parkway, first company in that tech park, fastest growing high-tech company in America back in the early, well, don't give it away, but the, yeah, the '80s. And
we have two decade rule here. We don't there play anything more than two decades.
Yeah. And rode that out a few startups, and you know, I'm very fortunate. I worked for a great company with SAP that's innovative and delivering solutions. And, you know, I head up manufacturing and I grew up on the shop floor. I was an industrial engineer. I supported high-tech electronic manufacturing facilities around the globe. And now I'm, you know, driving software that's making that automated and innovative here. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but, you know, Atlanta is one of the biggest hubs for SAP, you know, in North America, not just from a sales and support and services organization, but up in Alpharetta, we have a very large innovation center with a lot of development. A lot of our manufacturing development is done there, Ariba. So Sybase, so we, you know, we have a bunch of the technologies that come together. People don't realize the hub that we have here in Atlanta. So yeah, I've been very fortunate. And I said, with that airport, I can get anywhere in the world. So I'm a supply chain myself. So
well put. I love that. All right. One quick follow-up question for you, Mike. We didn't ask you last time. You said you grew up on a farm. Give me one chore you least liked growing up on a farm. What comes to mind?
Cleaning the stalls in the barn. That just wasn't much fun.
So that's just everything that we've always heard about it then, right?
Yeah. Good stuff. You know, it can get messy pretty quick, but it was part of it. And, some days I miss that. So,
yeah, I hear you. All right. Good stuff. Mike and Diego, thanks so much for kind of setting the stage a bit. Now we're gonna ask you one more thing before Ben dives deeper into certainly the Coca-Cola company and some of y'all's observations and some of the conversations you've been having with business leaders, Mike and SAP. So Diego, let's talk. You know, we always reference here at least your eureka moments, right? We always, you know, throughout our journey, personally and professionally, there are moments where it kind of stops us in our tracks because we something's finally dawned on us, right? When you think about your eureka moments as part of your journey, what's a powerful one that comes to mind?
Well, I have one that is quite clear in my mind that is, I mean, I could describe it as a eureka moment, but something that really changed my thinking 180 degrees. So I'll tell you the story. So, I mean, in the current role, I joined maybe over a year ago, in June of last year, that's when I joined this role. And then, well, I'm responsible for making sure that all the requirements on the manufacturing area are completed, that we can actually complete all the transactions in SAP. I'm not an expert on SAP. I wasn't an expert on SAP. So the first thing that I started doing when I joined the program is said, well, I need to learn about SAP and what does the SAP bring to the table on the manufacturing arena. I mean, we are part of the supply chain on the Coca-Cola company, but then manufacturing is one of the pieces of the supply chain. What is it that SAP has new on the manufacturing area? So we had an SAP consultant, and they started asking, hey, what is new? What does SAP S/4HANA bring to the table? Then it took almost 2 months from June until late August to have people from SAP come into headquarters in Coca-Cola downtown. And then I still remember the day, August 31st was the date. And then Mike and some other colleagues from SAP went to the complex. And then we had a session there, 3 hours meeting. And then I have to be honest here. I mean, I had in my mind, well, we have this product from SAP that we use today in our old system. I just don't understand what is the reason for it. And then I was planning to just remove that application from our environment and then change it to do something different with it. So we went through that meeting, and then that meeting was kind of the eureka moment that you're asking me for. So that meeting basically opened my eyes completely to what the digital manufacturing strategy was for SAP. And then the product that I was planning to kind of say, you know, we don't need this product anymore. Then I'm the person now that is kind of cheerleading for that product. So I'm completely bought into that one. The functionality that it brings is really, really, really good. So I'm extremely happy with it. And then I became I just call it the price of ignorance. I normally call it like that, is just not knowing what you don't know. And then when you have the opportunity of having the right people on the table, and then getting those people letting you know what is it that can be accomplished, then you realize. So that's what happened during that meeting. After that meeting, everything changed. All the objectives and some of the requirements that we have captured from the facility, saying these are the things that we need to accomplish in order to kind of modernize our facilities and then go into the digital journey. Then those requirements were kind of almost met by this application from SAP. So that's when I said, okay, well, this is what we need to do. And then from there on, it's been kind of how do we move the company in that direction as opposed to what we were intending to do before.
Outstanding. Ben, that sets a table up for one of our next topics. So hopefully you took good notes there. And Diego, this price of ignorance, if I use that phrase, do I owe you any kind of royalties or anything? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, good.
God, I got dibs on that. I already wrote it down, okay?
All right. So Mike, this is for the first time perhaps that one of our guests was involved in one of our other guests, Eureka's Moments. So this is a record-breaking day. But Mike, when you think of Eureka Moments in your journey, what's one that comes to mind?
You know, Scott, every time I sit down with customers like Diego that have vision, that those moments happen all the, you know, on a regular basis for me. But I got to tell you, the one that hit me was the first time I realized that additive manufacturing, 3D printing was real. It's not an academic exercise and the potential. And when I walked, I remember because I was outside of Paris in France, and this automotive supplier was telling me how they're going to cut 6 months off the design of a new car. And they're designing in 3D. You can see they were making, this time it was a bumper assembly, and they're doing it in 3D, designing whatever. And then they're going to the OEM and 3D putting it on the car and adjusting it. And then they're going to their 3D printer. Instead of having to have tooling or molding, it's going to take 6 weeks to make. And, you know, less than 24 hours, they got a real bumper that's being put on the car and rented. And they said, this process will take 6 months out of developing the next model. And then when I started looking at it, wow, that's phenomenal. And then you realize your supply chain, it changes the whole supply chain. Instead of having parts on the shelf, you manufacture them as needed, and you probably only have six materials in your whole warehouse to make your whole gambit of, you know, 300 different products. So just the thought of the simplicity of what this technology can bring. Now, are we there yet? No, we haven't reached the hockey stick. There's still a lot going on. But these early movers and innovators, the potential of what this brings is pretty phenomenal, and what it does to the supply chain. So yeah, our customers, the Eureka Moments, I pay a high price for that ignorance. I learn a lot from these guys and help me, you know, understand where they're going so that we at SAP can be there with them and hopefully be ahead of them to deliver on this. So yeah, that's, I think it's probably the most innovative, most disruptive technology I've seen in manufacturing in the last 20 years. So I'm pretty excited what we can do with that. I look forward for the future of what we're going to do to help make that, bring that to our customers, but what that technology is going to be able to do.
If I can piggyback on that, Ben, before we pass the baton here, I had a similar moment where I was listening to a presentation by a senior supply chain executive that was part of a massive industrial equipment organization, and they supplied dump trucks, a very technical term, to gold mines. And he talked about these autonomous dump trucks and how they stay running, in at least this point in time, this was probably 10 years ago, 24/7. And they calculated, of course, the cost when any of those trucks had downtime. And, you know, previously they were overnighting parts from wherever the fulfillment center was, you know, spare parts and whatnot. And then they applied 3D printing to the operation and the massive savings. I want to say that per load that came out of the mines was some $500,000 per load. So keeping that operation running full time for in terms of the cost of the bottom line was really important. And that was probably one of the first really practical 3D part additive manufacturing anecdotes that hit between my ears. But Ben,
Yeah, Scott, I can't even, I mean, the amount of times that we've heard that, Mike, I mean, the way you put it so eloquently was very well done, but the amount of times that we've heard that is really probably one of the biggest game changers, whether it's Industry 4.0 or whatever dot you want to call it. But I mean, it is an absolute game changer to the global supply chain when it comes to that. So Mike, hats off to you for citing that, because Scott, I mean, if we had a nickel for every time that we heard that, but without true evidence of seeing that, you know, really backed up, that's just, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, Mike.
This innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So let me switch gears a little bit. Scott, I'll, you know, Diego, you really started to hit on this kind of tip of the iceberg as far as, you know, kind of your roles and responsibilities, but what, you know, if you had to say exactly, and we talked about your recent title change, and it's a longer title also, Diego, so you've got a lot of responsibility, obviously, but what is it you do essentially for the business there at Coca-Cola, and how do you lead? Like, how does that work? What does your group look like?
On this current role, I'm responsible for gathering all the requirements from the business. So the business are all the operating units, all the manufacturing operating units that the company has around the world. So we have basically two big groups. One group is the international concentrate manufacturing world, is composed of 18 facilities. And then we have CCNA, is Coca-Cola North America. And then they have also manufacturing facilities, different types of facilities there, another bunch of operations there. So basically my responsibility is being able to gather where are the requirements from those operations to be able to operate, and then say, well, then are there standards that we can actually apply across those facilities, or do we actually need to have different processes? So that's one of the big elements. We are trying to standardize and digitize the supply chain. So those facilities had been coming into play either from acquisitions or from, they have different ages, different technologies. So there is a big spectrum of technology and history that is behind those facilities that make them different. And they are not necessarily the same. So it is a challenge to have standardized processes and standardized equipment. So it's kind of making a balance between how can we just apply standards and try to digitize and modernize these facilities without investing a significant amount of money, which it requires to have a return on that investment. So that's a balance that has to be in place there. So it's really collecting those requirements and working with a certain group of people that are going to help us to say, you know, can we use those standards? Can we just use the basic functionality that SAP is providing? Because that's what we are deploying. We're deploying S/4HANA, which is the new system. Do we need to customize the SAP to accommodate to the differences between those facilities, or could we just transfer the business process on those facilities to be able to use the standards that are coming with SAP? So whenever we need to migrate in the future to another version or upgrade SAP, then we don't have to go through this customization process again. So we can actually reduce the cost on deployment the system. So that's one portion of the work. And the other portion of the work is saying, well, we have information that is sitting in SAP. Then if we want to digitize the manufacturing process and then have more visibility on what actually happens at the shop floor, then we need to pass information down, but then we also need to bring information up. So doing that vertical integration is a key element that I'm also really focused on at the moment. So that's where I kind of had the aha moment from the meeting with SAP in last August. And then from there, we learned, okay, this is the tool that you need to use because it's right there. I mean, you are going to have it anyway. You just better use it the proper way. So that's when we learn all the functionalities that there is in with SAP MII, which is the tool that we are using. And then that's the one that is allowing us to do all the intelligence portion of it, which is the intelligence, the AI of the MII that we were not using before. And we were only using the interface. So that's what we are doing at the moment. And I think we'll touch base on that later on when we get into more detail. But
what about the facilities themselves, Diego? Like, you know, you think about your older facilities with other pieces of technology. Let's say it's not SAP for HANA. If you could illustrate to our listeners kind of, you know, what it feels like, you know, running those, you know, older facilities under with older technology and the difference digitally, you know, after the upgrade, what does that feel? What does it look like? What's the big difference in payoff for you guys when you think about digital transformation?
I would be able to answer to that question maybe in a year from now. We are in that process. So we'll see
how answer.
That day yep. comes out to be. Because, I mean, at the moment, we're working towards digitizing the manufacturing side as part of the supply chain. But I think we are having the right tools in place that are, it's kind of a combination of using the tools that come with SAP that we can actually apply on facilities that are highly automated, but also at the same time that are not highly automated, and then they can benefit using the same interface. That's what we're pursuing at the moment. Yeah. So how that is going to be coming out, it would be maybe a subject for another conversation in the future, saying, hey, this is the outcome of what we were dreaming and what we're working on. So it is an active project at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what we are working on. But then everything that we're doing so far is looking quite good. And we have a lot of support from SAP on all the right resources that they can provide, the insights. And again, I mean, the ideas on the strategy that they are following for digital manufacturing, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Is a unified space where we can have information that is, you don't have to integrate point by point, but basically you have information that can be published and then being read depending on who is the entity that needs it, whether it's somebody at the ERP level, it's somebody that is sitting at the shop floor level, then you just need to get the information wherever that information is available.
Hey, Diego, real quick, because the Supply Chain City series right here on Supply Chain Now should have first right of refusal for that future episode. All right. Can we get you a sign off on that?
Can we go ahead and lock you in?
For sure. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Lots of learnings, it sounds like, now and as the implementation continues to roll out, you know, a year or so from now. So
and I guarantee you it's going to be it's a journey, you know, so we have some kind of on phases. We said, okay, well, this phase one is going to cover these elements, and then, but that's building the baseline that you can actually go from there and start building on top of it. So basically, I believe we are building the kind of the solid foundation for being able to digitize the manufacturing process as part of the whole digitalization of the supply chain. So that's going to be very useful for the rest of the team members that are working on the rest of the supply chain. So at least we are working on the piece of the portion of it that is the manufacturing. So the information that is required from manufacturing is readily available, and it can provide insights to whoever needs that information in the rest of the supply chain.
And Mike, you've worked with obviously a lot of folks, including Coca-Cola in this case. I mean, this is a great opportunity with the amount of companies that you work with, but also the types of operations and types of engagements that you've been involved in. What's the hope, I guess, you know, for Coca-Cola, you know, with your engagement with them, is are there some metrics that kind of, you know, you're shooting for there, or some common themes that you've seen across other organizations that are trying to do something similar around digital transformation?
Well, you know, what I just heard what Diego's saying, I don't think people realize that the total impact on manufacturing, when he talked about standardization, is protecting Coca-Cola's most important intellectual property, and that is brand. That's its brand. You know, consistency is everything. When you, whether it's the Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Coke, when you pop that can, there's a reaction you're expecting to have. And when they're standardizing, it doesn't matter where it's manufactured. Their supply chain just got more resilient. He can move production as he needs it because he has standardizations.
Yep.
And, you know, my job is to support the vision that Diego and Coca-Cola or our other customers have. So when I hear what he's, you know, what Diego's talking about, you can see, you know, the path that they're on, that journey, and how far along they are on it. And I think that's real important. You got to have that vision, and they definitely have it. And my job is to support him and his team and the Coca-Cola organization so that brand that is such the fabric of Atlanta, right?
I mean, yes.
Delta Airlines, you know, Georgia Pacific,
UPS,
UPS is so important to us, and you know, it being in Atlanta, and that's what I loved about the standardization I heard.
Yeah, to that point, that's a perfect way to transition. Also, we talk about Supply Chain City and some of the partnerships with the companies that you mentioned. I mean, Coca-Cola, like you said, is Atlanta. You know, UPS is the Home Depot. GP, all these companies, obviously supply chain related companies or companies that are enabled by supply chain. As far as, you know, some of the other partnerships and some of the work you've done that you talked about earlier about your footprint here in Atlanta, who are some of the folks that you've worked most extensively, you know, here in the metro area and really in Georgia for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one that I spent a lot of time with because their challenges coming from, you know, from China in APJ was the Caterpillar facility in Athens, Georgia. That division makes the small excavator. Yeah. And they have, we were just talking and, you know, I said, one day we come to work and we had about 22 competitors and now we have 52, you know, overnight, a lot of them coming from, you know, China and other areas of the Asia Pacific, and the impact it had on their business. They had to change quickly. And, you know, they really had to change the process. They had to get standardization like Diego's talking about, but they really had to change the way they looked at business. And they realized that their value to their customer was the dealer. So getting more digitizing just doesn't mean data that we use internally in a plant, but it's data that that dealer can use to help service their customers. And it was just a phenomenal transformation. Now that plant is one of the marquee plants, you know, within the Caterpillar network of plants. And that plant's doing extremely well and it's growing and it's expanding, creating more jobs. And I just love it. And the funny thing I love about it, when I go there, I go, I know this land. I used to hunt on this land. It was owned by the Orkins, you know, which of the pest control. And you start tying this all together and I just start laughing. It's like, what a small world it is. How the, you know, the brands may change, but the origins of what started here in Georgia are just phenomenal. They're a terrific one. You know, we had Phillips Medical had made a lot of the, you know, the respirators here in Atlanta for a great, up in Marietta for a great period of time. I cannot tell you, I've learned more about paper in Georgia Pacific down in their plant down in Pooler, Georgia. I love that, you know, got to go through Pooler. Where are you going today? I'm going to Pooler, Georgia, down by Savannah, but that facility is phenomenal. And what they've done from an environmental standpoint, you know, we can't talk about the supply chain without talking about sustainability and the impact on the environment, you know, the circular economy, reusing. And I tell you, between Coca-Cola and Georgia Pacific and a lot of, you know, even Caterpillar, they're redefining for global companies what sustainable operations really means. And so those are some of the companies just really jump out to me that just, you know, are leaders in their industry, leaders in this community, and, you know, on a global basis.
Yeah, I've toured that Caterpillar operation, and it's out near my neck of the woods in the metro Atlanta area. And not only fascinating tour, by the way, but they also give back. They open up the operation for university students to come out and put their eyes and ears and hands on a manufacturing operation and see it. And that is so important from a variety. We can all probably remember our first factory tour, right? It's such a great thing to do for the next generation of manufacturing and really end-to-end supply chain and for that matter, global business talent. So I'd love to see operations that understand and embrace that role. So Ben, as we've heard from Diego and Mike share some of their experiences and perspectives and insights, you know, what's been one of your favorite aspects of what they're sharing here or common themes for that matter?
I think just digital transformation is probably the biggest thing. I mean, is whether you're a large or a small company, I mean, if that is not the number one priority of what you're doing right now is being consumer centric and making your supply chain so that it is extremely flexible to customers' needs and what they in speed almost right now, speed and then availability, obviously, and everything that comes after that with digital transformation. I mean, if that's not the top of your list on things that you're working on in your supply chain organization, your company, it needs to be.
Yeah.
And I just think that having that front and center to me is by far the most important thing. And I think it was perfectly illustrated, you know, through this great conversation we just had.
Agreed. And how it's powering, as Mike mentioned, the sustainability movement. Love.
Yes.
So much more conversations we'll have around that. All right. Couple final questions here. So Diego, back to you, beyond what we're talking about here with digital transformation and all the initiatives that you're leading there at the Coca-Cola company, when you survey global supply chain right now, again, in this historically challenging year of 2020. What's one other trend or topic or development that you're tracking more than others right now?
I have a couple of things that I'm really into it. Digital twin is one of them. So being able to kind of get enough information to and knowledge as well to be able to create a digital twin for manufacturing operation as opposed to a digital twin for a product. So it is really more on the manufacturing. I would like to recreate a digital twin of one of our operations we can actually do simulations on, and then being able to simulate virtually and then kind of connect it to the real process, and then being able to change and simulate on the virtual and digital twin, what is it that you can do? I mean, it's still, we are still away from that, but that is a dream that I think is going to have a significant impact on productivity and improving the operational efficiencies on the manufacturing side. So that's one of them. And then again, combining that with artificial intelligence and all these algorithms that are enabling you to actually bring value to the manufacturing things, problems that are only being able to be handled by humans today, and then not necessarily on an optimal fashion. Like, okay, well, you have different conflicting information from different points or different perspectives, and then somebody makes a decision and then not necessarily is updated on the other side. So that having that model in place, we'll be able to bring artificial intelligence into making decisions and then potentially organizing the production schedule automatically without intervention from people, which is something that is hard to obtain nowadays. So that's one of the kind of technologies that I'm looking at the moment. And then the other one is really on getting the vertical integration with on the manufacturing side. There is the, we normally the, if somebody is familiar with this, we have the Purdue model. The Purdue model on the automation side has layers, different levels. Being able to get that vertical integration and then using that unified space that I mentioned earlier, that to me is another objective that that we have, is basically creating the ability of connecting the different layers, and then that is going to enable, again, to bring data, create a network as opposed to just a one-to-one connections in the different layers of the automation. So instead of being a layer, then converting that layers into a network. That is out there is known as the unified space. So that is the other one that I'm following up very closely, just to make sure how we can actually continue our journey and then going in that direction. Because those two combined, the vertical integration providing the data, is going to enable to have the digital twin that I mentioned earlier. So I think those two are going to be significant importance in the future. So those are two that are kind of new words, new things that are coming out there. Some facilities or some companies might be much more ahead, but then that's definitely something that I'm watching very closely.
Ben, you ever feel like you're in a conversation that's about five pay grades above where you are? Diego is on a whole different level. I mean, just as he described that.
He's so more advanced than I ever got. Most of my background was more so logistics related. And hearing, Mike, you and Diego go deep in the manufacturing space is just, it's fascinating to me. So
we have
really appreciate
degrees.
Your insight there, guys.
Yeah, we have new degrees leaving this podcast. All right.
Yeah, you just saw a day of my life here. You know, when I sit down with Diego, he says, is digital twin, you know, how we help me get the digital thread. Okay. We take beyond that. And then when I'm getting artificial intelligence in my, you know, in your solutions that I can take advantage of, when's the roadmap is nonstop. And when you have customers like Coke and Diego out there that are pushing you, and that's what makes, you know, that's what makes you stay young. That's what makes SAP who we are today, is because of our customers and that push to never stop.
Yep.
Because they're never stopping. Mm. And that's, you know, it's just great that, you know, that all this is happening here in Atlanta. And, you know, we talk about supply chain city, you know, Atlanta's there at the top, and it's just terrific.
Yeah. Agreed. I love what you just shared there. All right. So let's wrap. We're going to make sure our audience knows how to connect with everybody here, but Mike, really quick, Reader's Digest version. what's one thing? I know you're tracking 17,000 things, yeah. But what's one thing relevant to this conversation that you're tracking in global supply chain right now?
So the big thing for me is our customers are asking, hey, I need 5 years worth of innovation in 18 months. And cloud computing offers a lot of that. Now in manufacturing, there's a couple of things, performance, stability, and security, right? So I'm really, really following and working with these hyperscalers to edge computing. Because if we get that right, then the plant's always on. You can do the heavy lifting in the cloud, but man, you know, at the plant level, I give you 20, we can do 24/7 always on. If you lose the connection, I give you sub-second response time, collect it, analyze it, tell that machine what to do, you know, 150 milliseconds. And Diego's telling me, Mike, I need 50 milliseconds, you know, but that speed. And that is making the cloud, which means we can roll out faster. You know, we can give you that innovation quicker if we can address that performance speed, that stability speed, and the security at the plant level. So cloud computing, edge computing, there's a lot of it going on or things I'm really, you know, got my eye on, and 5G, of course, which is a big part of that coming up.
Outstanding.
A lot of promise.
Mm. Well, and you know, one other thing, just start coming full circle where our conversation started, is the talent that is here in Metro Atlanta from a technology standpoint. That's on the cutting edge of a lot of that stuff. It's a great advantage for working and living in this market here. All right. So, and I love your phrase hyperscalers. That's going to get the other thing I steal from this conversation. So if I owe you something, Mike, just send us an invoice.
You got it.
All right. So Ben, so much good stuff. Let's make sure that our listeners can connect both with Diego and Mike and yourself, because we love our partnership with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So Diego Martinez with the Coca-Cola Company, how can our listeners connect with you and learn more about some of the things you shared here today?
Updating my LinkedIn page. So that would be the best way to do it. Honestly, yeah, that would be the best way. Yeah, definitely.
What two people in the world aren't familiar with the Coca-Cola Company? So great to always, I love these opportunities where we kind of hear some of the thought leadership behind these big brands that we're all real familiar with. So thanks so much for taking time with us. Mike, same question for you. How can our listeners get in touch with you and the SAP team?
You know, in this new digital world, there's a lot on our website, sap.com, the self-service, but you know, I love talking to customers. Part of what I need, you know, my responsibility to do to stay ahead. So, you know, mike.lackey@sap.com. You're welcome to drop me an email and you know, we'll be more than happy to get back with you.
You know, Ben, I love episodes where we have a couple of guests that are, you can feel the passion for what they do and how much they love it. And this episode had that in spades. So I know you enjoyed that as much as I did.
Yeah. I think just the user and provider relationship and having that, you know, it's a case study that we have on this show, and being able to talk about it from both sides is literally why our listeners, you know, are here to listen, to hear that kind of stuff. So just a phenomenal show, Mike, Diego, Scott, just phenomenal all around. Really appreciate you guys taking the time today.
Outstanding. We're not going to let you get away with that just yet, Ben. And you know, one last comment about what you just shared there, you know, of course, we love the Metro Atlanta area. We love being here and working here and growing businesses here, but this conversation really shows how listeners, wherever they are, can learn a lot from the Supply Chain City series. So on that note, that wouldn't be possible without, of course, great sponsors like SAP, but great partners like you in the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So how can folks connect with you in the chamber?
www.metroatlantachamber.com is probably the easiest. Obviously, you can find us on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, a lot of different places you can find us. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn as well. It's just at Benjamin J. Harris 1 is the backslash on there. So look forward to connecting with obviously the audience here going forward, and very happy about the episode today. So thanks so much for everybody's time.
You bet. On that note, big thanks to Diego Martinez with the Coca-Cola Company, Mike Lackey with SAP, and of course, Ben Harris, my guest co-host here, who hails from the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Great partners there. So to our listeners, hopefully you enjoyed this episode as much as we have here. Gosh, I got a couple of degrees going through this last hour. You can learn more about us at supplychainnow.com. Ben, we have dropped the radio here. It's been in the works for quite
yes.
some time.
Yes, you have indeed. So much more than a radio show. You guys have done a phenomenal job here at Supply Chain Now. And I think you are turning into your own economic development here story, Scott, as you guys are building out the team. It's been pretty it's been an amazing ride.
Well, it has been, and it's been a testimony to great partners like you, but great content and business leaders and thought leaders like Mike and Diego. That's what it's all about. That's our North Star. So to our listeners, hey, challenge you all like we challenge ourselves. Do good, give forward, and be the change that's needed. And with that said, we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.